talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KZO. As of course, this is Lacey Swope Tuesdays on Today in Ag, and she is joining me, and because I can hear her in the background there, so she's moving around. But anyway, it's currently 84 degrees with the heat index at 87. Dew point 69, humidity 61, the wind's out of the south, 6 to 9 miles an hour. It's hot and muggy out there. And starting yesterday, our weather every hour on Today in Ag is brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma, right there on the main road going east and west there. Lacey, have you ever been to Hobart?
I have been to Hobart. Yes, I have.
Well, that,
love the town.
Oh, yeah. That Hobart, if you go, next time you go through there, stop at the Hobart Farm and Garden store there. It's like Ace Hardware on the inside, and then on the outside, they got all the farm stuff you need, panels, feeders, the whole nine yards. They got deer feeders, but there's this little room on the west side of that building that's just full of very nice Browning guns, shotguns, rifles, ammunition. It's just my favorite place to go.
Love it.
Yeah, so they well,
a little treasure.
Huh?
A little treasure.
Oh yeah, it's a
right there.
Yeah, it's they actually got Twisted X boots and stuff in there, and that's where I buy some of my work boots and stuff, and they got some hunting boots in there, and it's just and he'll deal with you on the guns. I mean, if it says $1,000, you might leave out of there with buying it for $950. You never know.
Well,
anyway, but there's a tropical storm that's been making its way across portions of the United States, and it's dampening the outlooks for the cotton supplies this year, according to this report. And they're dealing with the southeast, and the center part up there right above it is dealing with heavy rains right now from the remnants of Tropical Storm Fred. So the cotton futures reached close to contract high on Monday. So our cotton crops went up about their 80 cents a pound, up to 80 cents a pound. So that's one good thing and a bad thing at the same time.
Yeah, kind of a catch-22.
Yeah, it's a catch-22 all the way around there. So you look like you had a busy weekend.
I feel like I did. I did have a busy weekend. It's a good weekend, though. We had to go to the lake.
Oh,
bad day when you got to go to the lake.
Yeah.
So we did. We took the boat out, me and my husband in Brooklyn, and we took one of our reporters from the station out who'd really never been out on a boat, not been on many Oklahoma lakes at all, and we went and shot a story. So it was fun. Anytime I can expose anyone to our lakes or the outdoors, I'm like, hey, come on. It's cool. And he ended up loving it, and he called me later, and he's like, do you think me and my wife could go back out with you sometime? I'm like, absolutely.
What lake were you guys on, Skytook, or where were you at?
We went to Keystone. So we went to Keystone. A friend of mine from my hometown of Kiefer, Oklahoma, has figured out how to snag the spoonbill and made a really, making a pretty good living out of it on Keystone Lake. And so he actually had a guy reach out to him from Thailand wanting to come with him on Keystone. And so I was like, that's a pretty cool story. I mean, growing up in a town of 1,000 people, and now you're so widely known because of your little niche you've gotten good at, that someone from, overseas is coming to fish with you. So
he's really good. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, he's very good. So did the gentleman from Thailand, did he get one?
Oh, man. He had caught several. Oh, yeah. Okay, he had caught several. And then he actually won. He's a chef, this gentleman is. And so he caught the spoonbill, one of them they kept, one of the small ones, and he cooked it up in like a true Thai fashion, and it was pretty cool. I wasn't there for that, but I saw the pictures, and they told me it was like the best tasting spoonbill they've ever had. If you've ever had spoonbill or ever eaten it, it tastes like chicken. The texture is like chicken. There's no bones in a spoonbill. It was like a massive shark, but they have no bones. It's all ligaments and you just cut right through it with a knife and make steaks out of it. But the texture of it's very different. It's not flaky and like a fish at all.
Well, I know you're a pretty good expert at spoonbill fishing yourself, because I think it was, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 years ago sometime here, I don't even remember if you was still at Tulsa or you'd come back, you were out, you snagged a big one.
I have grown up, my dad and my parents were fishing when I was a kid, way before I was born, so back in the 70s it was something they did, so it's just something I've been around for a long time. And my parents, they bass fished, you know, and tournament fish and did all that, so I'm not an expert by any means, but I've been around people my whole life that are very good at it. So I do have a few tricks up my sleeve when it comes to spoonbill. And I've caught my biggest spoonbill has come from Caught Lake, actually, from just below the dam up in Kay County.
Right. And they, yeah, because...
Yeah, but
Sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. I was just saying, I've snagged them there. I've snagged them in the Grand River and the Neosho River and then Keystone Lake also.
Well, I remember that there post you had on Facebook, and you had that pole bent over and you was hoisting that sucker out of there. It was a pretty good...
It bruises you. It really does. The weight of those things, and I've not caught any of them like what Nick and them catch on Keystone. I mean, nothing even close. Mine's like, you know, 60, maybe 80 pounds at max. I mean, these are 140 pound fish that they're getting. There's no way I'd be able to get that in the boat. But when you're doing it from the bank, it's completely different than doing it from a boat.
Right.
A boat, you kind of use a trolling motor, you know, and kind of follow it. But from the bank, you're pulling that thing in. And so, man, it's a ton of work. And every time I've gone and actually snagged a bigger fish anyway, that pole will bruise the crap out of you.
You think?
Yeah. Part of it. Part of it.
Well, when are you going to start noodling?
Well, noodling season's over now. What do you mean?
I mean, I haven't ever seen any pictures of you noodling yet. Your co-host up there at Tulsa, every day on her social media, she's pulling 30, 40, 50-pounder out of the water every day.
She's legit. She is legit. I have gone hand fishing, hillbilly hand fishing, if you will,
yeah,
noodling, since I was a kid, actually.
Oh, cool. And I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I grew up doing that with my brother and actually Nick, who I went and shot the story with, and Josh Jones, Carl Merle, people from my hometown. And my brother, when I was growing up, though, I never was the one to actually stick my hand in the hole. So there's actually, it takes multiple people, at least two, if
yes,
you find, depending on where you are, because you've got to have someone to block the hole. So growing up as a kid, I was always the one that, my job was to stick my feet in the holes or arms in the holes, block as many holes as I possibly could, and didn't actually like start catching them with my hand until my adult life. But I've caught several. They're on my page, Jimmy. You just don't pay attention.
Well, I'm sorry. I apologize for...
Yes.
I'm going to accept that apology. I'm going to creep on your page a little more then. So,
it is not something I do every weekend. It's not something I do all the time. Mainly in the river up in northeast Oklahoma is where we go. And I always go with my brother. So I've not gone out on my own and scouted and found holes. I go with him because the holes he knows of. I've been with my brother, and twice he has grabbed a hold of a beaver, though.
Ooh,
that has happened.
That's not cool. That's not a good deal.
No, and both times he knew it was sketchy. He knew the hole, there was potential that a beaver was in there, and both times there was. So, but it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people do it. It's popular.
Yeah, it's very... There's people that come in from all over the country to... You know, I don't remember the exact name of that show that was on TV that they, you know, there wasn't...
Oh, really, I know what you're talking about. Yep, yeah, I watched it. Yeah.
And it got crazy there because my grandpa taught me how to noodle down in Greer County there north of Granite. And, you know, he's like, hey, if there's air in that hole, let's go ahead and let's go to the next hole and all this stuff. So
exactly.
Back in the 80s, one of my brother-in-laws, we went noodling and he had boots on because we were in shallow water, and he said, if I kick twice, pull me out. And so He kicked twice, and the only thing I got out of the hole was his boots.
So, oh, no. That's awesome.
Yeah, so that'll teach him not to wear tennis shoes or whatever it is. So I finally reached up there. Yeah, and I reached up there in the hole and grabbed his belt and pulled him back out. So.
Oh, my. Okay, so I had to do that, too, with my brother. Now, my brother is a larger man, okay? He's a lot bigger than me. And that was one of the things I would always have to do. I had to hold his feet or hold his ankles, and mainly just for safety of, you know, knowing where he was, because the water is so dang murky. You don't, you know, you can't see in there. But if I ever had to do anything, like pull him out, there was no way.
Oh, yeah.
That would not have happened.
it's not a good deal when they get hung up in there. But I haven't done it in quite a while because I got other bad habits that I got. Hunting, fishing, and golfing, and cattle, and now this show. So I got plenty of.
I've got Oklahoma weather. I've got a child.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of Brooke, I see you abused her on social media yesterday for bruising the tomatoes.
Mm-hmm. That girl is a stinker. I mean, let me tell you. So I have my tomatoes in my. And this is in my flower bed. I don't have full blown garden or anything going on like that this year. But I didn't want tomatoes this year just because the pure fact that I had tons of other things I wanted to plant, and they just kind of take over. And so I didn't. Well, a couple of them came up from last year, so I was like, all right, I gave a bunch of them away, and then I staked up a couple of the plants. I was like, well, I'll see what they do, whatever, I'll give them a chance. Well, they've gone crazy, completely covered in tomatoes, and my first ones had turned ripe yesterday. So I told my daughter, I was like, okay, you can pick them, because she kept calling them apples, naturally. She wanted the apples. And so I'm like, okay, cool. So she picked him. It was super cute, and then instantly looked at me with this little ornery face that I'm sure everyone that has kids knows exactly what I'm talking about, and she started banging them together as hard as she could. And the more I would tell her not to and chase her, the faster she would run and the more she would bang them together.
Oh, boy.
So they turned into almost pulp, but they're there. She was very proud of her apples.
Well, speaking of tomatoes, it's my lucky day in the studio. Not only did my wife stop by before the show started and brought me a plate of tacos because it's Tuesday tacos Elk City from Santiago's food truck, my favorite food truck in the whole world. But Miss Teresa Banks, she stopped by because I've been supplying her. I think she's got 60 to 80 pounds of tomatoes from me in the last couple of weeks. And she by with three jars of salsa. My lucky.
You're living right.
I'm living right today. And they, it was all good. If you guys are just joining me, it's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. And I got the famous, most lovely meteorologist in Oklahoma, Lacey Swope, on here from Channel 9. And we're just, even though she threatened to punch me on a text earlier, she's still my favorite. So I was testing the waters, and she responded just like I thought she would. So now I know where Brooke gets it from. Because
Brooke will get it from her daddy.
Tyler's too laid back.
He is laid back, and sometimes it stresses me out, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I need someone like that, because opposites definitely attract, and we kind of balance each other. But I always tell him, if you can stress out a little more over things, I wouldn't have to stress out so much, you know?
Well, you just need to quit worrying about Tyler and let Tyler beat Tyler. But they, you're speaking of tomatoes, you found any army worms in your yard or your garden?
I have seen everyone talk about that lately, but no, I have not seen or heard of an army worm in my yard.
It's a hot item because it's not just Oklahoma. It's Kansas. It's Texas Panhandle, and they're terrible. My neighbor over there where we live at, I went by his alfalfa field that's irrigated on Saturday morning. Anyway, I texted him. I said, you been by your corner alfalfa lately?
No.
And he said, no, is there a problem? I said, no, but there's probably going to be because, he grows the most beautiful alfalfa in western Oklahoma as far as I'm concerned. And it was solid yellow with, you know, most people think they're yellow butterflies, but they're not. They're yellow moss. and they lay eggs for army worms. And there's two types of army worm out here right now. It's the ones with the white stripe and the one with the yellow stripe. And the moth that is white or light gray, they call it, is the one that has the army worms with the light gray stripe on it. And then the yellow moths lay the ones with the yellow stripe on. Yesterday he texted me, "Hey, you need to check your own alfalfa because army worms are eating it up." So you have two ways of resolving it. Just spray it or swath it. You got to do one or the other. So they are bad. They're on the golf courses. Our news director here, Jared, that was on right before me, they're in his yard. And the OSU Extension agent here in Beckham County, Zach Henderson, I talked to him this morning. And he said that he was at Stillwater yesterday, and all the OSU Extension agents, that's all people they were getting calls about. Army worm. And that's why
I wonder what the relationship is between that, the grasshopper problem, and the crazy temperatures that we had in the winter, you know, because you would think the opposite would be true, that it would have had a negative impact on these things, and it almost seems like they're thriving.
It is strange. It is very strange, and it's funny you say that because my landlord, he's up there in age. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to tell his age because he'll get mad at me. But he talks
very wise.
Yeah, it's pretty wise. But he was surprised that in April when we discovered the first batch of grasshoppers, how big they was, because usually they hatch in April depending on the weather and stuff, and you think that freeze that we had there for 2 weeks, that cold spell, would have set them back, but they were already an inch long in April. And so that's when I got to pick my tomatoes in my garden semi-green, just a little bit of red or yellow on them, because as soon as they turn red, the grasshoppers are eating the skin off
devoured.
Of it, and the army worms are boring a hole right through the middle of them.
Man.
And then Sunday I went to get picked cantaloupe, and there was one busted open, and that's not unusual, but when I picked it up, it was busted open wider than normal from a growing bust, and there was a big old Japanese beetle in there. And I was just like, really? You guys give, we need some.
You're cold. Like a zoo over there. You get it all.
We need some cold weather. So,
I know.
And Lacey, and what that does is, there's a lot of farmers and ranchers plant wheat or rye early for pasture for the cattle early. And bad thing about it is the grasshoppers are still thriving and the army worms are. And as soon as they plant it, it comes up an inch tall, they'll eat it plumb to the ground. So we need a little bit of cold weather. I haven't seen anything on TV from you or anything else here in the last week or so. But you know what happens 14 days from tomorrow?
14 days from tomorrow. It's getting us into September. What's happening?
Dove season opens October 1st. Oh, or September 1st. Sorry, September 1st. Yeah.
That's 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, and 44 days till archery season opens. And so you and Tyler get a chance to come out, because every one of my does had either twins or triplets. So we got plenty of deer for the freezer.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yep. So we got plenty.
I'm excited to start. I usually, in August is when I really start honing in on my archery shooting and try to shoot every single day leading up to October. I am delayed, I will say. And now that I have one daughter, I'm telling you, I'm delayed on everything all the time. It's crazy how often I said, okay, I'm going to get to that, and then 2 weeks later I still haven't got to it. But I'm excited, because I have to tell you, I've worked out like crazy, and my arms are stronger than they've ever been in my life, and I'm hoping I can up my weight some. I pounded some on my bow.
What's your pound?
That's my goal for hunting season. It's always been right around 40.
40? Oh, yeah. Well, get after it.
The legal is where I like to stay, and then they drop the legal weight that you can do. And which has been great. And the bows are so fast now that you don't have to draw, 70 pounds in order to get a lethal shot. But obviously, the more you can draw, the better. So I'm hoping to up it a lot. We'll see how much I can do, though.
Well, it's also 88 days to quail season.
Ooh,
you know that's my favorite. And then it's, 105 days to pheasant season. And my in-laws up there at Billings are expecting you and Tyler up there to go pheasant hunting.
Oh, We would love it. That would be amazing.
And so,
that would be awesome.
And I know you got a crazy schedule, and it's just spur of the moment stuff, but that's all right. So we do it the same way out here. We're normal like that out here.
Oh yeah, you just never know. The weather determines everything we do, and so sometimes it cooperates, and sometimes it does not.
Well,
got to work around it. But I am excited for dove season. That's always fun. Always fun. Well, I've got a place that I go up near Stillwater, and that's always a fun time just because it's the first of the season. It's kind of the first of bringing it all back, and I can't shoot worth a flip when it comes to dove, but I have a blast.
Well, your buddy Beej is supposed to be coming out to join me at the house, and you know where you stayed at the barn house down south?
Yeah.
Well, they went in there last year, and they were taking out all those mesquites, and we needed a certain piece of equipment to clean up all the loose brush, and guess what happened? It didn't get cleaned up, so a lot of sunflowers. So he's got 120 acres of sunflowers, and he was wanting to clean it up.
Man.
I told my son, don't touch that place till the frost.
that'll be amazing.
Yeah, because they're already starting to show up, and they're not the resident ones, so they're coming in. But you know something will happen, a cold front or something will happen in them, send them on south or do something crazy.
Always.
It
always gets screwed up somewhat.
Well, I'll let you get back to your normal life. Can you tell us what's happening with the weather this week around here?
Hot. It'll be hot and humid. That continues. And we do have, you know, scattered storm chances, so that's good. If you're one of the lucky ones that gets one overhead, you could get 1 to 2 inches of rain. Yesterday up in Harper County, 4.5 inches.
Yep.
Up near Laverne. And so that's kind of how these storms are. Then 10 miles away won't get a drop of rain. But that's kind of the same trend that continues all the way through about Saturday morning. After that, the big high pressure moves back, and we'll have temperatures climb up 100 to 105 into the middle of next week. Then a cold front about Thursday time frame is the way it's looking. Now, it's not a crazy strong front. It's still August, but it at least knocks that back down to livable conditions.
Well, we got everybody tracking the crickets. And for the first freeze, and also we got the time wrote down, the date wrote down when that cold front came through, which I think you were in Florida, I think, when it hit, right? Is that right? Correct. Yeah. A major cold front.
Yeah, that's right.
You were in
that was right.
Yep. And so, well, thanks for being on, and tell Tyler and Brooke, I said hi, tell Brooke to keep smashing those tomatoes.
Oh, she will. Don't you worry. Well, tell your family I said hi. You guys have a good day.
All right. Have a great day. Goodbye.
All right. Bye.
Well, right after this break, I got Mr. Kent Watkins in the studio. We're going to talk about seed, cover crops, everything. We got a big conversation, and thanks, Lacey, for being on. If anybody's got anything going on that they want me to tell on the radio as far as agriculture's going on, you can text me on the KCO Ag Line. It's at 580-225-9697. I will tell you that the Route 66 Farmers Market at Sayre will be tonight from 5 to 7 at the old Sonic Drive-In right there on the main road of 183 going right through the middle of Sayre there. So they'll be in there. And there's a gentleman out there on very east end of 3rd Street I seen on Tradio that's got watermelons and cantaloupe. So support your local vegetable gardeners and farmers and get out there and buy some stuff. But we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
It's year two of Hall of Fame head coach Dave Meadows' tenure at the helm of the Elk City High School football program. This year's team is loaded with experienced senior leadership all over the field.
Culver under center, fakes the handoff to Thompson. He's got a man wide open in the end zone. Caught, touchdown, Alex Cherry.
After a first-round exit from the playoffs a year ago, the Brown and White are looking for their first back-to-back playoff appearance in over a decade.
Handoff, Thompson. Bounces it outside of the five, tries to break a tackle, does, and he stays on his feet into the end zone.
I'm Aaron Kalk, voice of the Big Elks. This season's schedule features 6 road games and more miles traveled than any year in recent memory. There's no better place to watch the Big Elks on the road than Big Elk TV.
2nd and 4, snap back to Adams. Adams looks, fires it too high. It's intercepted by Hughes. 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. It's a touchdown for the Big Elks.
Follow the excitement of Big Elk football all season long on BigElkTV.com and Cool 94.
We raise registered Red Angus. We sell bulls, heifers, seed stock quality type. Red Angus offers superior marbling. Docility is probably the biggest selling point for Red Angus, the maternal traits, and some heat tolerance. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Once that gets in your blood, you're not going to get it out. Once you are ate up with cattle, farming, agriculture, it's a hard drug to kick. You're putting a crop out there, you're turning your cows out, and watching what you do grow, and watching the things that you take care of, things you care for, move on with their life cycle. Just seeing a result from your hard work. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale at Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Register at LMAauction.com or download the LMA Ringside app. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and we do appreciate it.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Yes, sir. We are back. I'm in the studio now with Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech right here in Elk City, right there on South Washington. Our current weather that is brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden out of Hobart, Oklahoma. I'm not buying into this, but both of them say it. The temperature's dropped 1 degree since we took the show off. So it's 82 degrees with a heat index of 85. Dew point is 68, humidity is 64, and we was talking earlier when Lacey and I was talking, we're talking army worms is a hot topic right now. Besides, it's a little hotter right now than the producers and processor news. So anyway, because it's a big deal, they can destroy stuff, whether it's on the farm or ranch or in your front yard. There's pictures all over social media, people's yard just dead because they didn't know what was going on. But this is coming from the OSU Extension Office. If you detect some army worms, which are little bitty when they start, they're about a half inch long, they're green, they can either have a yellow or gray stripe on them. They stay in the ground during the day, and they come out at night most of the time, unless they got some really dark shade. Take a tablespoon of Dawn dish soap and a gallon of water and put in your sprayer and go spray your yard. And it will force them to come up, and most of the time it will probably kill them. But if not, they recommend going and getting BT insecticide. You can get it at Atwoods. You can get it at your local co-ops, more than likely. You can get it at Rancher Supply here and spray it. And the application rate is 1 ounce per 1,000 foot, a square foot in your yard. It is toxic to dogs and other pets, so you need to wait for 48 hours after you spray it before you let your pets roll around in it and all that stuff. And yes, there is yellow-striped army worm moths out there, and it is a thing. On media and outlets and news deals, they're talking about the gray stripe, but there is a yellow-striped one in western Oklahoma right now, and I've seen them. Well, Kent, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for coming by.
You bet.
You always got stuff down there that interests me with the cover crops and stuff. So tell us a little bit about your business down there.
Okay, we're on South Randall, just south of the track down there. And
I've been a 40-year ag chemical guy, but we invested several years ago in the cover crop business, and we have a full blend facility down there, and we can custom blend any cover crop seed a guy wants. And right now we're starting to take calls about fall planting stuff.
Right.
And we're starting to take orders for that now, as a matter of fact. So,
well, how important do you think cover crops are to no-till?
Well, no-till was a great thing when it hit, and it worked until glyphosate stopped working.
Right.
Generics, Roundups.
Yep.
And then no-till started to fail. No-till is going to continue to fail if you don't incorporate the cover crops with it. If your guy will incorporate the cover crops with the no-till, you can go forward for a very long time with that.
Yep.
It works great.
Because I have a friend that lives down there by the river, South Carter, that's got some land over here on Highway 6 going towards Retrop. And this first year he's done cover crop. And he just, I said this yesterday on the show, he's just ecstatic of how well. It wasn't totally weedless, but it wasn't near the weeds, and he didn't have to use any sprays because chemicals are high right now.
Yeah, chemicals are manufacturers may be taking an opportunity here to gouge the growers a little bit, especially on glyphosate, because it's a base product that people have to have. So, and the producer, I mean the chemical manufacturers know that, if a person will incorporate the cover crops into their no-till systems, no matter what you're doing, whether it's cotton or corn or beans or a grazing operation, it gets you down the road a lot better with a lot less expense, and you can actually drop your chemical and commercial fertilizer use by 70% to 90% in just a few years.
That's a lot of money.
It's a huge amount of money, especially now.
Yeah, especially right now. You're listening to Today in Ag on 96.5, and I got Kent Watkins in here with SEI Agritech right here in Elk City, and they specialize in a lot of things, but mainly they got they blend cover crops, and they have other crops we'll talk about a little bit later. But if you got any questions for Ken on this, text into the KCO Ag text line at 580-225-9697. And while we're on air, I'll read some of these questions off if you have any at all. And Ken will help do his best to answer them.
Right.
So what kind of cover crops do you recommend during the summer after people have either harvested their wheat or rye? And what do you recommend?
Okay. So we'll use several grasses, Sudan-type grasses, hay grazers, the millets, pearl millet, brown-top millets. Use those for the grasses, and then I use sun hemp and cowpea for the legume.
Right.
And we blend all that together. We inoculate the legumes, and then all the grower has to do is put it in the drill and go.
Go.
And it's all mixed up. I used to get guys concerned about seed separation in the drill box. That doesn't happen. After they do it one time, then they see that it really doesn't happen, and nobody's ever called me out to their farm to say, look, see, here's where it separated in the field. You can't see it. It stays mixed. And if you incorporate livestock into it, it's a really a win-win for you, because you can recover all of your cost of the seed with the cattle or sheep or whatever the livestock is, pull off of it, let it grow back up, and then kill it and drill your next crop or plant your next crop into it. And then you have cover. The key to making cover crops and that whole paradigm work is keeping cover on the ground 100% of the time.
Right.
Keeping the ground cooled off, letting the microbes have a chance to reproduce, because microbes, people don't understand how important they are for soil science. If you put out commercial fertilizer has to go through the microbes before it's plant available. So if the ground is, after you've cut your wheat, it's common for fallow ground to be 135 degrees on the surface.
Yes.
If you'll put that cover crop in there right after you plant the wheat, It's probably going to be where your fallow ground's 135 degrees on the surface, your cover crop ground's probably 80 degrees. Well, the microbes start dying off at 110 degrees.
I didn't know that.
And it's not like they can go deeper.
No.
They're not going to be able to move very far.
No.
So you're going to start losing them, and you have to have the microbes to make that soil profile work. You just have to.
Well, they sounds like a really good deer crop, a deer plot stuff to your dog.
It is. You can pull livestock in if you want to.
Right.
You can really pull them in for the winter crop, like what we're talking to growers about now.
Right.
I mean, if you'll put a brassica in there, like a radish or a purple top turnip or kale or one of those brassicas, those are deer magnets.
Oh, yeah.
If you want deer, put those in there. They'll find it.
Oh, yeah.
I promise.
And the radishes and the turnips are great for no-till anyway.
Absolutely. I mean, especially the radish.
Yeah, because I did radish in there's a bottom on my landlord's place. The rivers got out, no telling me how many times, and there's like five different soils in there.
Mm-hmm.
One end sandy, sugar sand, the other end so tight that you can't even drive a deal. I went in there and planted those actual radishes, mm-hmm. no-till radishes in there, and they stunk. The landlord wasn't impressed with the smell at his house, but it busted that ground up unbelievably.
Yeah, the dicot radish, they go by several different brand names, but they're all dicot radish, the ones that look like a carrot.
Yep.
They have a sulfur smell to it, and after they get froze on two or three times, they really have a sulfur smell.
Yep.
What you'll notice is if you graze them, if you're grazing your wheat or triticale or whatever you're doing, if it's got radish in there, the cows really don't mess with them at all until they get froze on two or three times, and that chemistry and that radish changes, and you'll go out there in a day or two, they'll all be gone.
Right.
Because it turns sweet, and they'll mow them off.
Yep.
And then it dies, leaves it void in the soil, so you get water infiltration either from rain or snow or ice or whatever.
Yep.
And that water runs down in there, and then you get more freezing events. It freeze and thaw, and it helps break that soil profile.
Yep.
And a hard pan if you have one. So it all works in concert with each other.
Yep. Well, if you got a little bit, let me take a break here,
okay,
and we'll talk some more. It's The Day in Ag on 96.5 KCO. Be right back.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, August 16th. 1,511 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 335 brought 215. 8 at 618 brought 152. 10 at 725 brought 157. 16 at 775 brought 156. 50 at 898 brought 149. 10. 4 head of heifers at 433 brought 163. 31 at 558 brought 158. 75. 21 at 724 brought 145. 50. 6 at 748 brought 145. 50. 8 at 943 brought 126. Butcher cows were 36 to 80. Butcher bulls, 73. 3 to 98, bred cows 475 to 1235, pairs brought 1150 to 1500. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
It's so convenient for farmers and ranchers to get what you need in one place. The Wheeler General Store is the do-it-best hardware store that carries vet supplies to doctor your animals, high-pro feed, also master hand milling and smart lick tubs. Delivery is available if you need it. And at Wheeler Ag, right there on site, they've got dry fertilizer application with blending capabilities. Wheeler General Store and Wheeler Ag on Highway 152, a mile east of the four-way stop in Wheeler, Texas.
You can also find the Wheeler General Store on Facebook and Instagram.
The Penny Newsman here. As Americans join together to celebrate our independence, I can't help but think about all the things that make this country great, like beef jerky, bald eagles, and semi-automatic firearms. Personally, I like picking up that weekly copy of the Penny News, where you can pretty much find all of the above. I'm the Penny Newsman, and I'm just a guy who likes my country the way I like my Penny News. Free.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
We're back, and I love the Penny Newsman, because if I'd have said that on Facebook, I'd have got banned for 3 days. So all my friends out there listening that even care, I got put in Facebook jail this morning for 3 days. So if you don't see me on there with my sarcastic remarks or anything like that, don't worry. I'll be back. Tuesday. I'll be back Friday morning on Facebook. So anyway, I got in trouble. So everything's good. My wife posted it on there. But current weather, it dropped another degrees. I can't imagine the weather dropping out there, and it is up to date. So it's 81 degrees. Heat index hadn't come down, though. 84 degrees. And heat index is 84. Our weather's brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden out of Hobart, Oklahoma. Well, I got a few minutes left, Kent, and I got a question for you, though. See if you can help out with this answer here. You said, a guy that is not set up in a no-till program, how are you not trading fertilizer and chemical costs for new equipment and seed cost?
Well, it's a shift.
Yeah.
A person needs to commit to it, and I'm not saying that a person needs to commit. If he's farming, you know, 8 or 10 or 12 farms, he does it on every farm. I think you shift one farm at a time and prove the concept.
Right.
And learn from your mistakes early and take every mistake that you make, and you will make them, I promise you, as a learning experience, not as a failure. Because
right.
You won't fail if you'll do it. You just won't.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anybody yet that really did it fail. And it is a trade-off. The first year is absolutely the hardest.
Yep.
Because you have to decide to do it. But at some point, you will probably at least consider lining up your tillage equipment and getting rid of it.
Yep.
Because you won't need it anymore.
Uh-uh.
You just won't.
And you can, your local NRCS and Oklahoma Soil Conservation at each county has a no-till drill that you can rent to get started if you want to. That'll help offset a little bit of it.
That's right. Those are good assets to use, especially NRCS. Those guys, they do it every day.
Yep.
And they see lots and lots and lots of acres, so they know what works and what doesn't. It's important to take, if you're brand new to it, do all the research you can online, and then get with somebody you trust that's probably doing it themselves, and let them give you some help so that you don't have to reinvent the wheel, so to speak. You don't have to make the same mistakes they made. They can tell you, don't do this because this isn't going to work for you.
Right.
And you'll save money doing that right off the bat.
That's some great advice you just gave out. And it's true. It works. I no-till, and I have my years where I have weed issues, and I deal with it, you know. Mm-hmm. Like my landlord said, cows will eat those weeds, so, you know, we'll just get them down, because Maristail and careless weeds have come back with a vengeance here lately. So you gotta deal with it. And then one more question before I let you, we got to take another break because Lacey made me late today. What about the moisture? Do you use it all up with when you have a cover crop?
Okay. typically, in a fallow wheat field after harvest, from there till September 1st, the agreed-on number is that field, through evaporation only, will use 2 inches of moisture in that period of time.
Okay.
A cover crop statistically will use 2 inches of moisture. The advantage is the ground is cooler.
There you go.
And you have it covered. And when you do get that 2-inch rain in 30 minutes like we got here last Friday, it doesn't wash. It hits that cover crop foliage, slows it down, runs it down the plant, and disperses it on the ground from there, so that you don't have washes and stuff like that in your field. You're not running off.
Kent, you need to stop by more often. if you don't mind.
I will. Because, just give me a call.
Because cover crops is going thing. I had Jimmy Emmon in here yesterday from Dewey County, and he's working for the Oklahoma Conservation Commission now. There is all kinds of help out there to do your no-till and your cover crops right.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you being here. And if anybody's got any questions, how do they get a hold of you?
You can call the store at 225-0317, or my cell number is 405-370-9322.
Kent, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
And Kent from SEI Agritech right here in Elk City, he'll go anywhere to get your business, I'm pretty sure. I've known him a long time. So we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Hey, sports fans, listen up.
Pass up in the air to Culver. Oh, he makes an unbelievable one-handed catch.
If you have a love for Western Oklahoma high school sports, this job is for you. Paragon Communications currently has openings for broadcasters on Paragon TV.
Here's the pitch.
Right down the middle, swinging, strike three. Two away.
This entry-level seasonal position offers a great opportunity for someone to get their foot in the door of sports broadcasting. Applicants must have a basic knowledge of computers and broadcast equipment, and know the games of football, basketball, and other high school athletics. Basically, be a fan of the game.
Back out to Harris for two. It's good!
To apply, contact Gabe at 580-225-9696 or swing by the Paragon Studios at 220 South Pioneer in Elk City.
Great pass, and it works! Backdoor cut, just like Mama ordered, folks.
Come join the exciting world of sports broadcasting by joining our team at Paragon Communications.
Taking a three for the win. Got it!
We learned in grade school that 1 plus 1 equals 2, and 2 plus 2 equals 4. So what does quality cattle feed equal? I heard you can be proud of. It's simple math mixed with a little common sense. Barnes Feed Service in Hobart, Oklahoma has done the math and mixed years of common sense into their feed so you get the herd you deserve. And remember, their name ends with service, something they take pride in every day. See their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
This hour's weather is brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Complete nutrition for every animal. That's what you'll find at High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Check them out on Facebook and online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right. The Long Ranger forecast brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden is 81 degrees right now. Current temperature, high today will be 88. It's dropped 2 degrees since Lacey was on, so I don't know if she sent us some good luck, because I can't see outside, so I don't know what's going on out there. Looks like the wind's up to 12 miles an hour, gust up to 16 now, so the wind's got up out of the south-southeast. 30% chance of rain today. Tomorrow, 89 for a high, slight chance of rain at 20%. Tomorrow night, same thing. Thursday, 30% chance of rain, 90 degrees. Then Friday and Saturday, looks like all the storms go away and we get up to 94 degrees Friday, 93 degrees on Saturday. But we got we have lots going on this week. I hope you guys are super enjoying the show. It's been fun doing it. I'm hoping I'm bringing some stuff you guys like to listen to and hear about. If you got anything at all you want to hear about, period, just let me know. And you got hay for good quality hay for sale. let me know. It's also planting season coming up here pretty quick, as soon as the armyworms and the grasshoppers all go away. But if you got some wheat seed or triticale or rye seed you want to sell, text in on the KCO Ag Line at 580-225-9697. I don't care if you're in Hobart, you're in Shattuck, you're in Wheeler. Just text it in and I'll announce it on the show. Wheat, rye, or triticale, any of those good things. And Kent just talked me into putting some, blending some vetch and peas, Australian winter peas, in with my wheat this year. And because I don't do nothing but swath and cut mine for hay, and that'll make some good quality hay. So I'm going to try that this year because I know till. But the Elk City Livestock Auction and the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction reports came in to me last night. So Elk City Livestock Auction, they had 1,381 head. Excuse me. Sorry about that. Friday, they had some 410 pounders bring $1.85. Steers, they had from Mangum, they had 7 head weighing at 604, brought $1.49.50. From Mangum, they had another 11 head there weighing 823, brought $1.46.50. Heifers come in, they had 12 from Sayre, weighing, average weight was 426 at $1.54. 22 head come in at 588, brought $1.50 a pound. Pretty good price going there. They said the market's down a few bucks over the last week, but it looks like these were coming in pretty steady. The butcher bulls were up to $1.05 a pound. Butcher cows were up to 90 cents a pound. Pairs were bringing up to $14.10. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction yesterday, they had 15 in from Elk City that weighed, steers that weighed 613, brought $1.59. Cordell, they had 50 head weighing 898 that brought $1.49. Heifers from Hammond, they had 11 coming in there, average 510 to $1.48. Mountain View, they had 17 in there, average weight 746, brought $1.46. Butcher cows were bringing up to 80 cents a pound yesterday. Butcher bulls were bringing up to 98 cents. Had some bred cows in there, brought $12.35, and had some pairs bringing up to 1,500 pounds. Well, corn prices, U.S. and soybean crop conditions dropped. Overall, both crops' progress remains only slightly above their five-year averages, according to the USDA crop progress report that came out yesterday. Corn, as of Sunday, the U.S. had 73% of its corn crop in the dough stage versus 68% on the five-year average. Also, 22% of the nation's corn is in a dent growth stage versus a 22% five-year average, so that's on track. On Monday, the U.S. corn condition rating was marked at 62% good, excellent, versus 64% a week ago. And I got in, somebody's got a text in here. He's got some Mayton rye seed, if I said that right, I hope I said that right, Mayton rye seed cleaned at 580-821-2543. Mayton rye seed cleaned at 580-821-2543. Thanks for texting that in, sir, and I'll mention it again tomorrow. You didn't say if it was for sale or you was wanting to buy, but since you rattled off what it was, I figured you're selling. So anyway, Wednesday, tomorrow's the Hobart Stockyards down there. Give Rex Fleming a call down there if you for your buying or selling needs. And Brandon Hickey, I appreciate your text last night giving me your market report at Elk City Livestock in Western Oklahoma. And tomorrow I'll have some hay reports and some other reports coming in. So appreciate it, guys. Have a great day and God bless. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
And stay connected.
Check us out.
Stay connected
on Facebook.
KECO, Elk City.
safe passage to the airport.